The New York Philharmonic is in the midst of a concert series that began last evening and is continuing right now at this very moment as we speak. They are performing. There will be a performance tomorrow night at 8 as well, and again Tuesday evening. Manfred Honeck is conducting the Sibelius Violin Concerto with Nikolai Schneider as soloist. Also his own arrangement of music from Dvořák's opera Rusalka, and highlights from Tchaikovsky's Sleeping Beauty Ballet. There will not be a performance this Sunday or Monday, and that is just perfect. It allows a breather so that the new trio can come to northeastern Pennsylvania to perform Tchaikovsky for us as the final concert of the season for the Northeastern Pennsylvania Chamber Music Society, founded by John Michael Vida and Amy Iwazumi. That's because the ensemble's cellist is Patrick G, and he is a member of the New York Philharmonic and a longtime friend of Amy Iwazumi. They played together in the Sejong Soloists and came to respect each other as musicians and creative individuals very much. Of course, when you live and work in New York City, you're used to the sirens and the horns and the rumbling subways, the shouts and other urban sounds. Patrick G stepped out of the rehearsal hall and into Lincoln Center Plaza to talk with us about his friendship with Amy and his musical life.
Oh, Amy and I, in addition to Andrew, the violinist, we all used to play in a group called Sejong Soloist for many, many, many years in the early 2000s. And we toured the globe together. You know, we all go our separate ways eventually. When I found out she was doing the chamber music series, that's what we all dream of doing. And my hat goes off to her and John.
And of course, we're always curious about how you three got together.
I will start off by saying I am not the original cellist. The original cellist is Gaul Niska. And Andrew and Julio had played with Gaul for several years, and they had met at the Juilliard School. I think they put together this group kind of on a whim, maybe get some credit at school, but then they found out that they played really well together, and one thing led to another, and they found some success at the Bischoff competition. And then, you know, life got in the way, and Gaul moved away. So because of my history with Andrew and his young soloist, he had asked me to read with them, and it clicked right from the start. I remember we did Beethoven Opus 1 number 1 and the Shostakovich Trio on very short notice, and, you know, those were pieces I had already played. So I've been in piano trios for seemingly my entire career. So when we got a chance to just put it together, it was kind of magical.
That's a lovely word to use. We don't often get that in life these days. Magical is a wonderful thing.
It doesn't always happen. You know, when it does, you recognize it and appreciate it.
What's fascinating is how playing chamber music and playing in orchestral settings, how one informs the other. You must find it that way as well, that your chamber performances do something to enhance your orchestral work and the reverse. Is that true?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, just today, during my orchestra break at the New York Philharmonic, I am practicing my Tchaikovsky trio, where also on the program is Tchaikovsky's Sleeping Beauty. So I had a chance to get the grand scale of an orchestral work and just find all the similarities and nuances in the piano trio, which we'll be performing on Sunday. That's one of the huge benefits and joys and privileges that I have and Andrew has as well.
I noticed in the course of reading through your biographical materials that you actually had an occasion to play in connection with the UN.
Oh, that was a big deal. We had been invited, a small group from Sejong had been invited to play at the General Assembly, which, you know, you see on the news and on TV all the time. But it's quite something else to be there physically and playing for all the diplomats. And it was such an important occasion. I think it was the 50th anniversary of the armistice. So the most recent news is so hopeful and uplifting, and hopefully more good can come out of it.
It's a cliche, but we often hear, and we saw it in the Olympics, that musical ensembles are making ways in and trying to get people to listen to each other in that way.
Well, you know what they say, music is really the universal language. And it couldn't be more true. And in fact, I think there was, the New York Philharmonic, right before I joined, did a, not exactly a concert tour of North Korea, but they traveled to North Korea to play. And in that instance, they broke off into smaller chamber groups with North Korean musicians. And I remember the sentiment from our own players is, these guys can really play. It was such a joy for them and the New York Phil members to join forces.
I was interested to see that you had a chance to play with the orchestra of the Lyric Opera of Chicago, and I wondered what that might have contributed to your sense of line, the lyrical line, your attention to the voice. Has that had any impact on your performing?
Well, my time with the Lyric Opera of Chicago is so heartfelt. But, you know, my love of singing, you know, that transpired long before that. My mother and father are not musicians, but huge lovers of classical music. And my mother was really into singing. So she would drive me about 7.5 hours to lessons. And during that time, we would just pop in CDs like Fritz Wunderlich or Fischer Disco. And her favorite was Jose Carreras, of course, Pavarotti as well. So I kind of had my education in the car. And that helped me appreciate, and I actually do think it helped me get the job at the Lyric Opera, just an understanding of lyrical flow. And so I spent 7 years in Chicago with the opera company and then moved on to New York Philharmonic 5 years ago. And something like the program this week, which I just got out of rehearsal, we're doing a little bit of Dvorak's Rusalka. And it really all comes back to me, the flow of the operatic material. I'm one of the lucky few to be able to have done a symphony and an opera orchestra and get to play a handful of chamber music with my friends as well. That's really quite a privilege.
And how about your mentor, your musical mentor? Was that Aldo Parisot?
Mr. Parisot, you know, I owe him so much. Not only did he teach me how to play the cello, but I was driving 7.5 hours to go see him for my one-hour lessons in Connecticut, starting in high school. So I was with him for nearly a decade. And he, of course, taught me how to play the way I do, but also how to think about music organically and structurally. But not only that, I was a teenager when I met him. So he kind of molded me into what I hope to be a proper person and how to take responsibility. He is really big on that word.
Tell us what we have to look forward to and how you decided, well, we'll do the Beethoven and we'll give them the Tchaikovsky, and what a neat pairing.
Well, yeah, the Beethoven Opus 11 Gassenhauer is just your joy of life, Viennese composition lifestyle, where everything is just so easygoing and lighthearted. And we juxtapose that with the truly mournful and sorrowful Tchaikovsky trio. You know, whenever I like to eat, I always like to balance salty and sweet. So in this program, you have, you know, just the opposites kind of playing off of each other. I think it'll make a nice program.
And you just mentioned the rehearsal you had with the Tchaikovsky Sleeping Beauty Ballet. And I was thinking about that lovely waltz in the Tchaikovsky that you start, right?
Oh, right. Yeah. The cello variation, we call it. It's so typical ballet Tchaikovsky. It's the bread and butter and the musical language of him. You know, I really take it to heart. And yeah, again, playing in opera where, you know, you play 1,000 waltzes and 1,000 marches, the Tchaikovsky trio reminds me so much of Onegin, and you can just kind of feel some of those scenes in the waltz variation as well. Tchaikovsky, it was just so great in creating character and developing these stories. And I hope that in the piano trio, even though there is no, it's not programmatic at all, there certainly is some kind of feel of evolution of story, and you know, I hope everyone enjoys it.
Patrick G., cellist with the New York Philharmonic and also with the new trio, standing outside Lincoln Center, having just left a rehearsal of the New York Philharmonic, talking with us in anticipation of his visit with the new trio to Northeastern Pennsylvania to perform this Sunday night at 8 at St. Stephen's Episcopal Pro Cathedral, 35 South Franklin Street in Wilkes-Barre, and they will present this piano trio by Tchaikovsky. The lovely waltz Patrick G. just described for us. Northeastern Pennsylvania Chamber Music Society is presenting the award-winning piano trio, the new trio, with pianist Julio Elizalde, who has been a recital partner to such luminaries as Sarah Chang and Ray Chen, violinist Andrew Wan, who is the concertmaster of the Montreal Symphony Orchestra, and our guest today, Patrick G., cellist with the New York Philharmonic. They will present as well the Beethoven Piano Trio in B-flat, Major Opus 11, the Gassenauer. That's all this Sunday night at 8 at St. Stephen's Episcopal Pro-Cathedral, 35 South Franklin Street in Wilkes-Barre. You can check on tickets on the Northeastern Pennsylvania Chamber Music Society website, or you can get tickets at the door. It's NEPACMS.org. It's the new trio, and it's Sunday night at 8 at St. Stephen's Pro-Cathedral, Episcopal Pro-Cathedral, 35 South Franklin Street in Wilkes-Barre, NEPACMS.org.